Before the September 11, 2001 attacks, immigration officials focused on catching and deporting illegal aliens who committed crimes, not those who overstayed visas. But for the past year and a half, agents have sought out undocumented people from countries that are thought to have a terrorist connection. As a result of this new practice, several thousand Arab and South Asian immigrants have been deported. As Marianne McCune of member station WNYC reports, many of them feel double-crossed.
When Ejaz Ahmad first got a visa to come to the United States, he says he rode his bicycle home with his passport in his shoe.
I don't want to lose that passport. I don't want to lose it.
Ejaz's father died when he was 16. His family was poor, and Ejaz was making only about $30 a month. There were bills to pay, weddings for his brothers and sisters to finance. So when Ejaz finally got his visa at age 24, he left for New York in a hurry. Within days of arriving, he got an off-the-books job working overnights at a Yonkers gas station. He tuned the radio in his booth to KTU 103.5 with lots of Mariah Carey. It was 1994.
Whatever people want in gas, they give me money, I open the pump, they put gas and they left. There is nothing to do with English anything. After 6 months, I was crying because I don't know how to talk. And a lot of girls want to talk.
Ejaz is over 6 feet tall with a flirtatious grin. He says his Pakistani roommate told him, ask a girl for her phone number, talk to her on the phone. So he got a number from one of his customers, a Puerto Rican nurse who worked nights as well.
Night finish, I go home. I don't want to eat. I don't want to sleep. I don't want to go to the bathroom. I just want to call the lady. I call her and she say, yeah, you don't speak English, so why don't you meet me and I'm going to teach you. I go to her house, and then she teach me a lot of English. She teach me that you got to talk to the people. How are you? How old are you? What's your business? How many kids you have? And blah, 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 all that stuff. Believe me, after 3 months, I can talk with everybody.
Ejaz got a social security card, a driver's license, a car. America was living up to all his expectations. Over the years, Ejaz worked his way from cashier at 7-Eleven to general manager of half a dozen fast food outlets in New York and New Jersey. Nadim Kermani was his boss.
He was the one who was supporting everybody. For him to work over here was supporting his family back home. The guy was just believe on work.
Ejaz was making around $30,000 a year, paying taxes, sending money home, and becoming more and more enamored of the American high life.
I was that time bad guy, you know, flirting and everything, movies, and you can say it's a hobby. After a year, I changed my car, Camry, Montero Sports, after a year BMW, after a year Mercedes, and when I got the new cars, the girls come to me, you know, and then Nadim teach me, look, you stupid idiot, I mean, you're doing that stuff, just bring your wife here.
Technically, Ejaz didn't have a wife. His marriage had been arranged by his family at a young age, so he was engaged to a Pakistani woman who was waiting back home in Lahore. In 1999, Nadim helped get her a visitor's visa.
So I stay away from girls and, you know, stay away from new cars. And she come back. And then everything was okay.
Until last January, when he was arrested and taken to jail. Ejaz was easy to find. Investigators came one morning to the Taco Bell he managed.
I opened the store. I was very nice, beautiful, you know, like gel in my hair, shaved and perfume and everything. They asked me, what's your name? I say, Ejaz, we want to talk to you. You have a green card? I say, no. And then he said, okay, you gotta go with us.
Nadim says he tried to help Ejaz reopen his case, but Ejaz didn't want to wait many more months in prison for a court date that might yield nothing.
I saw him 2-3 times in the jail. I went to see him. It's really, really bad. He's crying.
Ejaz was at fault. He'd come to New York on a 6-month visitor's visa. Then he admits he made a false application for political asylum. And in 1995, when an immigration judge confronted him in court, he followed his lawyer's advice and signed papers saying he would leave the country voluntarily within a year. But he did not keep his word.
The lawyer said, you can stay here. Nobody gonna throw you out. And after that, nobody asked me anything. I was scared a little bit. But after 2 years, 3 years, I said, oh, lawyer was okay. Lawyer was saying the truth, that nobody going to touch you. But after September 11, they touch everybody.
The Justice Department began seeking out men who had been ordered deported, but who had not returned, to a list of countries the U.S. government says harbor terrorists. To Ijaz, none of that made much sense.
If I have a deportation order in 95, why are they catching me in 2003? Why? Because of I'm a Muslim and a Pakistani people? Unbelievable. I mean, that kind of stuff I don't understand.
Ijaz spent 2.5 months in jail. Then, with his wife in New York, 8 months pregnant with their first child, he was put on a plane and flown halfway around the world. After 9 years of life in the United States, Ijaz arrives back where he started. He's one of more than 1,000 Pakistanis deported for violating immigration laws. Ijaz's new friends are a motley crew of New Yorkers like him, filing off a plane on which they were forced to wear plastic handcuffs. They're in prison sweats or the clothes they were wearing at arrest.
What I'll do? I'll do nothing. I have children out there. What I'll do?
Most are like Ijaz. They overstayed a visa, filed a false application, didn't show for a court date.
My all property lost, my passport lost, everything lost. FBI told me, give me people, Pakistani people, Muslim people.
I don't like America. I like Pakistan.
Pakistan! Zindabad! I love Pakistan.
Both kharab hai jail. America, no good.
Local reporters snap pictures and take notes. Ijaz is wearing the fast food manager's uniform he was arrested in. Navy slacks, short-sleeved, light blue button-up shirt. The hair he used to wear gelled back, droops down over his forehead.
They think all Pakistani Muslim people did the September 11th. But we are working. Our family is back there.
Pakistani embassy officials give them each $30 to $80 to make their way home. And by the end of a four-hour bus ride to Lahore, Ijaz and a couple of the others from his hometown are giddy looking out the window at the city they grew up in.
What do you think?
I'm lost.
Ijaz takes a taxi to the foot of a dirt road that leads to his house. He rings repeatedly, as he always used to, and in the twilight he's greeted by nephews, nieces, brothers, sisters, and his mother in flowing white scarf and tunic. She takes him into her arms. Ijaz's sisters bring out bowls of spicy chicken and lamb. Nephews and nieces Ijaz has never seen climb in and out of his lap. He eats, drinks tea, turns his teeth red, chewing betel leaf, and talks into the night.
So exciting. So exciting. I'm not going to go nowhere. I'm not going to leave my home like this again.
Ijaz spends much of his first full day back telling his story to a stream of relatives and friends who come sit in the family room and stare in disbelief. Ijaz tells them he broke immigration laws, but he emphasizes that no one seemed to care until September 11th. And then, he says, they only seemed to care about the Pakistanis and Muslims who broke the laws. Ijaz's sister-in-law rocks her newborn baby in her arms.
They should have allowed him to stay there. Those who are there with no family, they could have been treated like that, but not a man with a family.
I don't know why he come back.
Saeed Naqvi lives next door to Ijaz. His own brother immigrated to the United States too, and Saeed always planned to follow, until now.
My elder brother suggests me that, please, don't come here. So if you want to make your future bright, so you'll stay in Pakistan.
Who's your president name? Clinton or Bush?
Bush.
George W. Bush. He against two Muslims. So I can't go to America.
That is the message traveling fast from the United States to the Pakistani streets. Ijaz visits his in-laws' house later in the day. They are wealthier than Ijaz's immediate family. They have a car and a battery-run electric keyboard. While Ijaz visits with his father-in-law and nephews, the girls and women crowd into a bedroom to watch a cousin's elaborate engagement video. Photographs of Zileh Huma pouting in lipstick and dark eyeliner explode from a blooming flower. This is the home Ijaz's wife grew up in. Huma is one of her nieces.
She didn't want to go to America. And now when she calls us from America, always weeping.
Huma is angry that Ejaz and other Pakistanis with families in the U.S. are being deported, especially while Pakistan is, in her eyes, bending over backwards to help the U.S. apprehend terrorists. Most political leaders in her own country aren't standing up to America to her satisfaction. These days, she says, she supports the Islamic fundamentalist party Jamaat-e-Islami.
I like Jamaat-e-Islami because they always want to help the Muslims and against non-Muslims.
In Lahore, in the afternoon, boys fly kites from the roofs of their houses. The horizon on all sides is dotted with fluttering paper diamonds.
They are masters of these things.
Here on the roof, built with money Ejaz sent from the States, he seems momentarily convinced he could stay here and make this his home. But every time he ventures beyond this house, onto the messy streets of Lahore, he becomes agitated. The roads have no lanes. Tiny cars and smoke-spewing rickshaws and bicycles and pedestrians compete for the tiniest openings. While Ejaz and Pakistan have far bigger problems than traffic, this is the thing he can't get out of his head.
I was in state, and they teach me everything. Don't cross the light, stop sign. I love that. In my country, everybody driving without license.
He says he misses the rule of law in the United States, even though he broke the law so he could live there. Late in the evening, Ejaz argues on the phone to his wife in New York.
She's a little upset because she said, why are you so hating this country?
She wants him to love Pakistan, and she wants to bring the baby to join him here. But Ejaz is thinking of the way he was able to live in America, and all the things he provided for his family, and how little money he can make in Pakistan.
I'm jobless. We have a big house. Electricity and a gas and a lot of things. And they are happy now because came here after 10 years. But might be after 1 month, they're going to say, hello, go outside and look job or something. So before they're going to tell me, I have to do something to go back. That's all.
Ejaz is barred from returning to the United States for 10 years. He thinks he can buy a visa to go to Montreal, but he doesn't even have his Pakistani papers right now. He says immigration officials told him they lost his passport. For NPR News, I'm Marianne McCune. Yeah.